so very much. Your brother David's a good and humble prayer. And I hope and trust as he was praying and leading us in prayer that we will all pray and will continue to pray that the Spirit of the Lord will be with us. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been trying to preach on what the Lord has given us in His Word in teaching of gifts in His church. And for the last numerous times, we've been in Romans chapter 12 and have been looking at the gifts there. But I'd like to, the Lord being our helper, be back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that brings us to this morning. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Here the Apostle Paul begins to explain this concept of spiritual gifts, which we've been on for a while, and he doesn't want them to be ignorant of spiritual gift, but understand the great blessing that spiritual gifts are to the church. He reminds them in verse 2, and I'm going to cover this fairly quickly because we were here numerous weeks ago, but he reminds them where they were. He said, "You were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led." You know, sometimes to appreciate where we are now, we got to remember where we were.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul is reminding them where they were. He said, "You were carried away. You were worshiping idols that can't see, that can't speak, that can't hear. You were carried away under these dumb idols. But look at where you are now. You're in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have been blessed with gifts in His church that are able to edify and build up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to build up one another." And he reminds that, and sometimes we need to think. We sing a song, and I love this song, "Thus far the Lord hath led me on. Thus far, His power prolongs my days. And every evening shall make known some fresh memorials of His grace. How far has the Lord led each one of us throughout our life? How far has He brought us? How much has He blessed us?" He tells them, "Whereby I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." That was actually happening in this day and at this time, that people were claiming that they were blessed with the Spirit of God and were calling Jesus accursed. He said, that doesn't happen. And he said that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we're blessed this morning to say and to believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, the only way we can sincerely do that is because we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And if we can say in our heart this morning that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's sure evidence that we're a born again child of God and that heaven and immortal glory will be our home. What a blessing that is. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Then begins and says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Said there are variety of gifts, there are differences of gifts, but it's the same Spirit behind the gift. Says there are differences of administrations. That word administration means ministry or service. But he said, but the same Lord. And it says there are diversities of operations. Diversities, that word operation literally means workings. It comes from a Greek word that we get our English word energy from. And says that there are diversities of operations, of workings, of energies, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. So he begins to talk about the diversities of the gifts, and we know when we've looked at it before that he compares the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to a physical body. And our body has many members, and every single member of the body is very important. And every member of our body has different workings and has different functions, and they're all important. The eye is important, the ear is important, the nose is important. And one of the problems that was happening in the church at Corinth is that some of the members were acting like they were more important than other members.
Right.
And somebody may be saying, well, I'm the eye, I'm better than you, you're just the nose. And what that was doing to some is some thinking, well, I'm just a nose, I don't matter. I'm just a little pinky toe, I don't matter. But every single part of the body of Christ is very important, and every single part of the body of Christ is important.
Amen.
And even though we don't think that much about our pinky toe, if we didn't have it, it would be tremendously easy for us to totally lose balance,
right,
because of the great function of that pinky toe. I want us to notice too, as he goes throughout and he's beginning to talk about these gifts, notice at the end of verse 4, he said, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And Spirit's capitalized.
Right.
We know that Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. Says there are different administrations, but the same Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person in the Godhead. God the Father, then God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then in the end of verse 6, it said there are diversities of operation, but it's the same God. God the Father, which worketh all in all. Now, isn't that a blessing that the gifts that we have and are blessed with in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father is involved in that. And God the Son is involved in that. In Ephesians 4, it tells us that these spiritual gifts were given by the ascended, risen, victorious, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. So these gifts, the Holy Spirit of God is involved in these gifts, and they're driven and powered by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And they're given by the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. And they are blessed by God the Father. So all three persons of the Godhead are involved in these precious and wondrous and glorious gifts that God gives in his church. What a blessing that is. And it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. As these gifts, and every single born again child of God is blessed with at least one gift.
Right.
They may be blessed with numerous gifts. And I think a lot of born-again children of God are. It says, but the manifestation, or the revealing, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, when we use the gifts the Lord has given us, it is a blessing to us.
That's right.
But the purpose of it is to be a blessing to others.
Amen.
To build up our brethren and our sisters, to every man to profit withal. And what a sweet and wondrous blessing that is. There's profit. And I'm going to tell you, whenever the Lord tells us to do something, you know, the devil, it's kind of like the devil tries to tell young people that your mom and daddy are just trying to keep you from having fun. What they tell you to do, all these rules and regulations they give you, they're just trying to keep you from having fun. when what mamas and daddies are doing, if they're being good mamas and daddies, the way that the Bible tells is they're trying to do what's best for their children so their children will profit with all. And that's what the Lord always does for us. The Lord doesn't want what's not best for us. The Lord wants what's truly best for us, to every man to profit with all. And when you profit, you get more out of something than what you put into it. If we invest in a stock, we want to get more out of it than we put into it, or it's not profitable. But I'm going to tell you, any service that we give in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's prayer, whether it's faithfulness in reading God's word, where it's work around the meeting house, whatever it is, where it's working the gifts and encouraging exhortation and the gift of helps and helping our brethren and sisters and serving one another, there's always great profit. We get way more out of it than what we put into it. And the church of the Lord Jesus gets way more profit. Says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now we're going to come to some gifts here in this list that he's given, that were gifts that were given to the early church for a particular point in time. We're going to come to gifts of healings and gifts of tongues. And these gifts have been labeled by many with the label of being sign gifts. And they held a very important purpose in the early church. We need to understand that during the New Testament times, the New Testament Holy Scriptures were still being penned. They were still being written. So the very early church did not have the benefit of the New Testament that we have the benefit of today. And the Lord gave the early church special grants of wisdom and knowledge for this time. It says, to the word, to another, to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. When a question would come up in the early church, it was incumbent initially upon the apostles to have the right knowledge and to have the right wisdom to know what to do. There was a question that came up at one point about what would be required of the Gentiles. And do we require them to be circumcised? Do we require this or do we require that? Well, they couldn't go to any New Testament verse. Again, the New Testament was still being written. So the Lord blessed Peter, James, and the Apostle Paul with great wisdom and the word of wisdom to know what the Lord's will was for them to do. Right. He blessed them with great knowledge. Now, knowledge is knowing the truth. Right. And wisdom is knowing how to apply the truth. Amen. Wisdom is knowing how to take the knowledge and apply it to maybe difficult situations in life, to apply the truth to what was being faced. That's wisdom. Now, I don't say by that, by saying that this was a special gift given to the early church, and I think in a lot of ways, particularly to the apostles, these were men that God was going to bless to actually pen the New Testament. Peter was blessed to pen parts of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was blessed to pen. Now, don't think that what they penned was of them, it was of the Lord. These are verily the words of Almighty God. Right. But God used these men. He gave them the word of knowledge He gave them the word of wisdom. Now, I don't say by that that we don't need wisdom in the church today. We very much do. Or that we don't need knowledge in the church today. We very much do. And we need words of wisdom. And we need words of knowledge. But where do we find that? If you look in the very next chapter, as the Apostle Paul begins to show them the more excellent way, again, you had some in the church at Corinth that was showcasing their gifts and like, well, I've got the gift of speaking in tongues. My gift's better than your gift. My gift's more showy than your gift. And the Apostle Paul begins to explain to them in 1 Corinthians 13, which we tried to cover many weeks ago, that there's a better way. And the better way is the way of charity.
Amen.
The better way is that unconditional love of Christ. And part of that, its essence, it's not about me.
That's right.
But it's about others. And in that chapter, this great chapter of charity, and I'm tempted to cover more in detail, but we covered that, and I don't want to retread a ton of ground that we've already covered. But in verse 8, it says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now I think ultimately, all the latter part of 1 Corinthians 13 is going to be fulfilled when we're in heaven and immortal glory. But there was also another application to that. What Peter and James and John and the early apostles had in the early church, they did not yet have, again, the full Word of God, the full Bible to include all of the New Testament. They had in part. But when that which is perfect is come, the Word of God, the Bible, that we have, that the Lord has given us, that I hope we never take for granted. It's kind of mind-boggling to think about the early church trying to serve the Lord with everything they have, but they didn't have the full Bible yet. We are so blessed, and we're so blessed to have copies of the Scripture. I dare say that every person represented in the congregation this morning has numerous copies of the Scriptures at home. What a blessing that is. The people of God, until really the invention of the printing press in the 1400s, didn't have access to the Word of God, anything like we are blessed to have access today. When that which is perfect is come. Peter, in his epistle, the Apostle Peter would write, he begins to detail about what they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's detailing what they saw with their eyes and what they heard with their ears. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I see something with my eyes and I hear it with my ears, I believe it, right? Don't y'all? If I see it with my eyes and I hear it with my ears, I believe it. But he said, when he described what they experienced on that Mount of Transfiguration, where they saw the Lord glorified, and that's found in 2 Peter chapter 1. He goes on to say that we have a more sure word of prophecy than that, beginning in verse 19. And he tells us, as you continue to read, what that sure word of prophecy is. It's the Holy Scriptures. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy than what I saw with my eyes on that mount when I saw Jesus glorified. God blessed them to have a little glimpse of heaven on that mount. And he said, we have a more sure word than that, and it's the Word of God. It's the Holy Scriptures. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, The Apostle Paul would write unto the church, would write unto the young preacher, Timothy, and say, all Scripture. Not some of it, but all of it. All Scripture, all the Old Testament and all the New. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration literally means God breathed. It means these words came from God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He said it's profitable for doctrine to teach you what the truth is. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable to tell us when we've gotten on the wrong path. And it's profitable for correction. It's profitable to tell us how to get on the right path. You've heard me say before, but I don't have a better example. I'm going to keep using this one until I do. Is when we're trying to go somewhere with GPS and we take a wrong turn. Aren't we glad the GPS doesn't say you took a wrong turn, you're lost. Sorry. No, it tells us what to do. Make a U-turn or go back up to this road and take a right. It tells you how to get it back on the right path. The Word of God does that for us. It's profitable for correction. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. It tells us how to stay on the right path. That the man of God may be perfect. Does that mean without sin? No. It says that the man of God may be perfect. That means complete. You got everything you need. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means that the Word of God, the Bible the Lord has given us, is all we need to thoroughly equip us to serve the Lord as we are. That's a blessing. And that's why these transitional gifts, some of which are in this narrative in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, had came to an end in the way that they were given to the early church. Now, the Lord blessed them with that word of knowledge to know the correct doctrine when they didn't fully have the New Testament, and to know how to apply that doctrine in wisdom. And he goes on to say, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, faith is a precious gift. Now, all of us, as born-again children of God, have been blessed with faith in our hearts in the new birth. In Galatians, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. He gets to faith. That's one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. As born-again children of God, we're all blessed with faith. But this gift of faith was an extraordinary blessing of faith. Faith can be such a tremendous blessing. And to see brothers or sisters with a tremendous abundance of faith. Faith that trusts in the promises of God no matter what.
Amen.
Faith that trusts in the promises of God no matter what the trials and the tribulations or the obstacles that have come up in our life may be. We trust in God no matter what. And there's a couple of examples in the New Testament that to me really showcase great faith and the gift of faith in very difficult circumstances. In Acts chapter 6, we're introduced to a man named Stephen who was ordained as one of the first deacons, and I believe he was also a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 10, as Stephen is speaking, or let's go back to verse 8, it said, and Stephen, full of faith and power did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen, a man full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Notice, I believe also he had the gift of wisdom. Look in verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. When they couldn't resist him in words, the next verse says, they suborned men. That means they bribed or induced men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemies against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people. We then see throughout Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaching a great message. And the Holy Spirit of God was with him in an abundant and a magnificent way. And those that looked upon him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And at the end of that message, they would stone him. And he would see heaven opened. He'd see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He trusted in God no matter what. He spoke the truth of God no matter what. He trusted in the promises of God no matter what the obstacles, no matter what the dangers, no matter what the threats may seem to be. He was a man with a great gift, the faith. We see Barnabas is who I meant to say. We see Barnabas in Acts chapter 11. We were introduced to Barnabas earlier, whose real name was Joseph, but the disciples nicknamed him or surnamed him Barnabas, which means the son of consolation. He was such a comforter, such an encourager, such an exhorter, that they actually changed his name and they surnamed him Barnabas. But look at what it says of Barnabas in verse 24 of Acts chapter 11. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. He was full of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. The previous verse, he was exhorting some new believers that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. The Bible doesn't tell us how Barnabas died, but according to history, he was taken by a mob in the city of Cyprus and was taken out and dragged out and stoned to death as he was preaching the gospel in a synagogue. He had the great gift of faith.
Right.
And we still have that sweet gift of faith in the church today. What a blessing when we see brothers and sisters that are going through some of the most difficult trials or tribulations that you can imagine. But they continue to trust in God no matter what. It can change the whole complexion of a congregation. It can make somebody like me look at them and say, if what they are going through and what they are experiencing, they believe and they trust in the Lord and trust in His promises the way that they do, surely I can. Yeah. We see what they've gone through. We say, Lord, may I have that kind of faith.
Amen.
To trust in Thee. The gift of faith. It says to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The Lord manifests all these gifts. If we think of the gift of wisdom, as we look at all these spiritual gifts, the Lord's the perfect picture of all of them. We think of wisdom. Colossians tells us that in the Lord Jesus dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Apostle Paul would write and say, the Lord Jesus is made unto us wisdom. He is to us wisdom. So the Lord is the perfect manifestation of all these gifts. And by the way, the Bible tells us in James, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I hope and trust that I have some wisdom, and I hope and trust that all of us here this morning have some wisdom, but I feel like I need more wisdom than I've got. But the Lord's told us where we can ask for it. Said, if any man lack it, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And where we find wisdom of God is in his perfect word that we describe. Where we find the perfect knowledge of God, we find it in his perfect word, the Holy Scriptures, which we describe.
Amen.
That's why it's the second article of faith of Providence Primitive Baptist Church that we believe that the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament are the revealed word of God and our only rule of faith and practice.
Amen.
It's all we need.
Amen.
We didn't say it's one of the rules of faith and practice, but it goes along with I think so, or I said so, or somebody else said. No, it's the only rule of faith and practice, and what a blessing that is. The Lord Jesus, in this thinking about this work of miracles, the Lord Jesus came doing all kind of miracles. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed the deaf. He healed the dumb, those that couldn't speak. He healed the lepers. And even raised the dead to life. He came doing many, many miracles. He fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He did many, many miracles. And the disciples were blessed in this New Testament time to do great miracles. You may say, well, Brother Mark, how is it that all these apostles and those in this New Testament age were blessed to actually be miracle workers, if I can put it that way? But that aspect of miracle workers seemed to fade away. Well, there was a time, and you'll see this numerous times throughout Scripture, where the Lord sends a message that this is my man and this is my message.
Right.
We see that all the way back in Exodus. God's going to send Moses, who's been on the backside of the desert, back to be the spokesperson to the most powerful king in the world at that time. And he's going to send him back to the people Israel to lead them out of bondage in Egypt. Well, Moses has got kind of a good question. He's like, well, what if they don't believe me that you sent me? And the Lord says, what you got in your hand? He said, it's a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. And it became a snake. And Moses got the point real quick, because you know what Moses did? He ran from the snake. And that's what I do from snakes, if I can get away from them. He ran from the snake. And the Lord said, pick it up. And he picked it back up, and it became a staff. Then he told Moses, he says, put your hand inside of your clothing and pull it out. And his hand became leprous, white as snow. And he says, put it back in there again. And he did that, and then it was clean and whole as it was before. So Moses went and did those things before Pharaoh and upon the children of Israel. And they got the message, I think this man was sent by God because of these miracles. So the Lord showed forth that at different times in the Scripture. He showed it forth with Elijah when he's up on Mount Carmel doing really battle against all the Baalites and all the idolaters and all the heathen worship that was going on. And God blessed with the prayer of Elijah for fire. God sent down fire from heaven and and consumed the sacrifice that Elijah had put forth. God showed forth, this is my man, and this is my message. This is my messenger, and this is my message. And the Lord did that. He does that in a mighty way. When the Lord Jesus came on the scene, who was more than all these other prophets, because this man is more than them. He's the Son of Almighty God. And that's why God Almighty would speak from heaven when the Lord Jesus was baptized and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But he blessed Jesus to do many great miracles. And he would bless the disciples to do many great miracles. Let's look at a few instances of this. Acts chapter 5. Verses 15 and 16. And let's back up just a little bit to verse 12. It said, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now look in Acts chapter 9, and we covered this earlier when we were looking at this great woman of God having the gift of ministries or the gift of service unto others. And she was full in verse 36 of Acts chapter 9. It said she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She was a great blessing. And she winds up being sick and dying. The apostle Peter was blessed at the end of Acts chapter 9 by the power of God to raise her from the dead. If we go to Acts chapter 20, about verse 6, we'll see, and I'm going to summarize this. But the apostle Paul was long preaching. And there was a young brother. In verse 9, it said, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, there's difference of opinion on this. It said there were many lights in that place. It could be that he was paying a whole lot of attention to the sermon, but because of those gas lights that it made him extra sleepy, and he fell out of the loft. And I think that's a very good possibility of what happened. Or he just became sleepy, but he fell out of the third loft. He was dead. And the Lord blessed the apostle Peter, again by not Peter's power, but by the power of God. He was raised from the dead. We see another instance where the apostle Paul is, they have been shipwrecked, and a big viper snatches down on his hand, and he shakes it off, and the local villagers are there waiting for Paul to die because they've seen people bitten with those snakes before, but Paul's okay. And they at first thought, well, he's escaped the savages of the sea, and now this snake jumps on him. He must be a horrible, great sinner, and God's going to get him. And then when they say he's okay, then they say, well, he must be a little G God, and they wanted to worship him. And then right after that, the apostle Paul was blessed to heal many on that island of various infirmities. So you see these great miracles where God is sending the message, these are my messengers, and this is my message. But then you see those seeming to wane, and I know we're running out of time, and I'll be trying to bring my remarks to a close. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 20, very end of that chapter, toward the end of it. He said, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. This man who was blessed by the power of God to raise people from the dead is leaving a brother sick at Miletum. He would also write unto the young preacher Timothy and say, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. The Apostle Paul was extremely close to the young preacher Timothy. He called him, he said, he's my son. He was his son in the ministry. He was extremely close. But yet he said, you better take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. Why didn't Paul heal him? Why didn't he heal Trophimus? And we see that waning of some of these sign gifts and some of these gifts that were given in the times of the apostles to the New Testament church to send the message. These are my messengers, and this is my message. And so we saw some of those wanings. We see that also in the gift of tongues, and we'll try to cover that, Lord being our helper, later. But we see these wondrous gifts in the Lord's church. And at the end of the day, as those gifts that the Lord has given us are used to the honor and glory of his name, and as we serve the Lord's people, we're really serving the Lord Jesus himself. And I'll remind us, and we've said this throughout this study, but I think it's such a wonderful and great way to bring a message to close. When the Lord Jesus says, when I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick and in prison, you came unto me. And those sheep that were on the right hand, those born again children of God, those sheep of God, which the Lord was flexing to say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for thee from the foundation of the world. And he said, I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And they said, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and gave thee meat, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or naked and clothed thee, or sick and in prison, and came unto thee? Lord, we don't remember seeing you in those circumstances. Jesus said, when you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. See, the world thinks about greatest and least, and that the least don't matter. But I'll tell you, the least matters to our heavenly Savior. The least matters to our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. The least matters. When you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So as we show forth the gifts that the Lord has given to us, and he's given at least one to every single one of us, when we use those gifts, the Lord said, you did it to me. You were serving your brethren and sisters, but when you served them, you were serving me. What a blessing. God bless you, is my prayer.